This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 9th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the increasing problem of email spam and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. A tax referendum for residents in the new Champaign Southwest Mass Transit District is headed to the April 17th ballot. The Champaign Southwest MTD board voted last night to put the referendum before the voters. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Board Chairman Ted Vaughn says the proposed property tax would amount to about $8.67 on a $100,000 home in Southwest Champaign, or roughly one-tenth of the tax already imposed on most of the new district's voters by the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. The Champaign Southwest MTD board wants to use the money to pay for the legal fight to oust the Champaign-Urbana MTD from the territory it also covers. Dwayne Ryard, who spoke at a public hearing before the vote, said he's ready to pay taxes to two MTDs for a while, if it can lead to a court ruling nullifying the Champaign-Urbana MTD's annexation of Southwest Champaign.
Do away with the opportunity for the CU Mass Transit to come in and establish their, quote, territory. If that means no buses, or if it means that we set up an emergency system for those who can't, that may be all well and good.
Chairman Vaughn says he plans to seek help from local homeowners and homeowners associations to promote the referendum. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois Prisoner Review Board is defending its recent decision to parole two convicted killers. In a statement, the prison board says 54-year-old John Outlaw and 55-year-old Frederick Thomas pose minimal security risks and have been rehabilitated. Outlaw was sentenced in 1976 for killing a security guard and janitor on Chicago's South Side, and Thomas was sentenced in 1974 for the rape and fatal stabbing of a woman inside a South Side warehouse. Cook County State's Attorney Richard Devine has strongly objected to the parole of the men. He says their releases point to a larger trend of letting violent criminals out of prison too soon. Devine says under current guidelines, the men would have received harsher punishments. The chairman of Illinois' Board of Higher Education is stepping down. James Kaplan has served on the board for 8 years, half of that time as chairman. Sean Crawford has details.
Kaplan's decision is based on caring for an ill family member. The move comes as colleges and universities are waiting to see how much state money they'll receive in next year's budget. If the recent past is any indication, a small increase is about all they can hope for. Kaplan's time as board chairman was marked by spending cuts. He says reductions in administrative costs will be helpful going forward, but admits it's been a rough few years.
In terms of foundational requirements for a financial future, we're better off. In terms of what the state provides to the colleges and universities, we're far worse off.
Kaplan says that's due to the state trying to pay for other needs and having too little money to go around. He says universities and faculty must think outside the box, including more use of technology, such as the internet, to serve students. Kaplan lists among his accomplishments as a board member, helping to promote campus diversity and improving conditions for the disabled. Kaplan says he successfully lobbied the governor to provide a funding increase to higher education in the current budget. He says another increase is needed next year to pay for rising costs. I'm Sean Crawford.
Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn says Chicago needs a new ordinance to help protect drivers from pirate tow truck operators. Quinn says he's responding to reports of truck drivers who haul damaged cars from accident scenes and then demand $1,000 or more to give them back to their rightful owners. The Democrat says he's taking advantage of a Chicago provision that allows citizens to submit an ordinance for the city council to consider. Quinn's proposal would bar tow truck operators from soliciting motorists after accidents. It would also require the city of Chicago to maintain a list of approved towing services that accident victims could use. The sun is likely setting on renewed debate in the General Assembly over time in Indiana. Representative David Crooks said Thursday that he's killing his own bill, seeking a non-binding statewide referendum on whether Hoosiers would prefer that all of Indiana be in the Eastern or Central time zone. Crooks says he does not believe his proposal would clear the Commerce Committee, which he chairs. Crooks' district includes four southwestern counties that were granted federal approval to switch from Eastern to Central Time in 2005. Those four counties and another in southwestern Indiana now want to switch back. Crooks says he thinks it makes sense geographically for Indiana to be on Central Time, but the majority of respondents to a survey in his district said they preferred Eastern. A new position at Carle Foundation Hospital will allow for studies at the University of Illinois to be more quickly applied to Carle patients. Suzanne Stratton has been tapped as the hospital's first director of research. Stratton says when she came to Carle last year as a consultant, she quickly saw the potential for better communication between the hospital and U of I.
Basic scientists don't often realize that their laboratory research can have immediate or very direct clinical application. And I'll be able to communicate with both sides and help introduce partners from both institutions that would benefit from a relationship.
Carle Foundation CEO James Leonard says Stratton was chosen for her experience in translational research, or turning lab work into medical breakthroughs. Her priorities will include bone reconstruction and senior care. Stratton says the Mills Breast Cancer Institute, which is slated to open next year, will serve as a model for developing other areas. Stratton formerly served as an assistant professor and director of a prostate cancer prevention program at the University of Arizona. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Odds are you are getting emails from people with odd subject lines, like was pothole of Portsmouth and to burglary at Virgule. And yes, Virgule is a word. The messages contain alleged stock tips, casino come-ons, and advertisements for medications to do a bunch of things. They're annoying and they waste time. Charlie Schlenker has more on the problem of spam.
Sitting in her office in a certain public radio station in central Illinois, membership director Pat Peterson has come to dislike the chime when she opens her email program so much she disabled it.
Pain is a polite way of describing spam.
And she's far from the only person who has such a Pavlovian response to this sound. Peterson says junk email eats up an hour to an hour and a half of her time every day. She receives between 200 and 400 emails daily.
It's getting to be a desperate situation, and I don't understand why it can't be fixed.
Peterson says she returned from the last long holiday weekend to find 1,800 emails, of which maybe five were useful. Across the country, spam surged close to the end of the year. Illinois State University used to block 250,000 emails per day. Now it is 500,000. And still, a lot of spam is getting through. Bloomington-based State Farm Insurance and other large companies have also seen spam volume double. The main reason is the spammers have edged ahead in the constant cat-and-mouse technology game. Institutions used to filter email based on the reputation of the source. Mass emailers decentralized their operations. Carla Birkelbaugh, Illinois State University's Director of Computer Infrastructure Support Services, says it starts with a virus that infects a computer and turns it into something called a zombie. Add thousands of zombies together and you have something called a botnet.
And all these machines are serving as unwitting hosts for spam, and they're actually relaying spam through their personal computers, and the folks that own them don't know that, of course. So they're harnessing free computing power, plus they're disguising their origins.
Businesses and education institutions responded by filtering email based on text analysis. Spammers jumped forward by embedding their text in picture files not subject to the filters. And Bob Hilmer, the Director of Enterprise Information Security and Directory Services for State Farm Insurance, says spammers already have a countermeasure to the tactic of using optical scanners to read the text in the picture.
Now they're obscuring the text message with different background colors, with artsy letters instead of just recognizable fonts. And what that means is we have to deal with it.
Because the volume of spam has gone up faster than legitimate email has grown, spam now accounts for roughly 90% of all email. It used to be workers could become spam magnets by injudiciously clicking on links or asking spammers to remove them from distribution lists, letting the bad guys know they have a live address. That still happens, but ISU's Carla Birkelbaugh says it doesn't make as much difference now.
Most of the spammers are not targeting specific accounts. They're they're using dictionary attacks and just putting together combinations of letters. And, you know, they send out millions of these. They don't care how many bounce back because they're not real addresses. They're going to get to a percentage. And obviously it's profitable for them.
So if you have to plow through dozens or even hundreds of emails per day, you're taking time from more fruitful work. Take State Farm, for example. Bob Hilmer says there are 17,000 agents and 70,000 people who have email addresses on the agency side alone.
It may be as much as a dollar an email across your enterprise. If everybody has to take time out of their day, you multiply that across 70,000 people just in the agency force, and it's a big number. At one point, we estimated it might be $6 million a year in lost productivity just to clear your spam.
Which leaves workers with a dilemma. Keep on wading through the trash email or try other things. Public radio membership director Pat Peterson says she still uses email, but grudgingly.
I often feel like others have the same reaction to it as I do, and so they're not paying as close attention to their email or they're reluctant to open their email in a timely fashion. And so communication's getting bogged down. I really feel that's true. I'm going back to the telephone a lot more. I don't see it as an efficient tool anymore.
Corporations have it a little easier than universities. Businesses can make sure everybody is using the same kind of computer and the same kind of desktop spam filter. In a university, students in different departments have all sorts of platforms and programs. But ISU's Carla Birkelbaugh says everyone is a victim to some extent.
I think a lot of people don't understand that they're going to get spam no matter what happens, that there's no way to filter out everything.
And Birkelbaugh says clients wouldn't want computer security to try because that would prevent some legitimate email from going through. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
And the forecast for East Central Illinois, bitterly cold today, mostly cloudy, the high around 18. We have northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. The lowest wind chills today around 14 below. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 4. Lowest wind chills this evening around 13 below. And for tomorrow, partly sunny skies, we'll have a high around 22 degrees. The lowest wind chills around 12 below. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.